Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is Offsides with... I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. Mark says, bring us in. I said, okay, if you want me to do that, I'll do it. It's time for
I suddenly sound old and disheveled.
It's time for the best thing we heard today. This has recently surfaced. I think it actually came out yesterday or the day before yesterday. But to celebrate the 25th anniversary of a cartoon sensation that I know Mark Ryan is a huge fan of. Trust me, I've seen the sheets that he puts on his bed. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of Pokemon, the rapper, musician, savant Post Malone has released a cover version of Hootie and the Blowfish Classic.
You just called him a savant?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
The Hootie and the Blowfish Classic.
That word has fallen on hard times.
Only Wanna Be With You. And everybody knows that really famous line in that song as it relates to the NFL, where he says, "The Dolphins make me cry." Well, Post Malone, being a big-time fan of a certain team in the NFL, has decided to make the song about him and make it personal. So here's that little clip, just that one little line of "Only Want to Be With You" as redone by Post Malone.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls. Sometimes you're crazy. And you wonder why I'm such a baby, 'cause the Cowboys make me cry.
Oh, the Cowboys can't catch a break. Oh, they're getting blasted by Post Malone.
Hey, that's actually not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I think it does a service to the original song.
Sure.
Diesel, am I allowed to give you a cover to play? Am I allowed to do that? Can I ask you to play a cover?
No.
Okay. So can you play Real Big Fish, Take On Me?
No.
Okay?
No.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
Can't
okay.
do that.
Okay. Are you just joshing me right now?
I'd rather not.
Okay, I got you. Okay. So I believe that
this is relevant to us because it's about the Cowboys.
It is relevant to us. I believe that that there are certain songs where the cover is better than the original.
Sure.
Okay, and to me, if you guys are listening to this right now, put on your phone, Real Big Fish, Take On Me. I think it's better than the original version. I think it adds something. It takes the original version to the next level.
Well, so often you get better musicianship, you get better studio production quality. You know, it's like Van Halen, You Really Got Me Now. Everybody knows Van Halen's version of that song. You know, not very many people immediately think of the original.
That's true. That is true. That is very true. So I think there are certain versions that are better. The remake is better. You almost never see that in movie sequels. Can anybody name a two that was better than a one? You know, I think Dan Patrick is trying to convince Adam Sandler right now to do a Happy Gilmore 2. And the trepidation is that no matter what you do, it's never going to be as good as the first. Now, I actually thought Anchorman 2 was really good, but I was in the minority on that one.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
I didn't like
it. So, and then you had people saying, well, my favorite movie of all time is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Why didn't you make a Ferris Bueller's 2? And the writers said, because we couldn't do it justice. Because that was so clearly an isolated day, an incredibly special day. You think about easy movies to remake, Diesel. Ferris Bueller's Day Off would be so easy to remake. You know? Like, now he's a professional and he's playing hooky from work, right? It's just something you can so easily do. But every once in a while, you hit a sequel that's better than the original. Can you think of any that come to mind, Diesel, movie-wise? A two that was better than a one?
A two that was better than
one. If you guys can, it almost never works that way, because for there to be a two, the one had to be great most of the time.
Yeah.
Right? For there to even be a two, the one had to have developed some sort of cult following. In your opinion, ladies and gentlemen of the Upstate, via the text line at 71307, has there ever been a movie sequel that's better than a one? Thinking so, about cover songs as well that might be better than the originals.
So I have a little bit of research and perspective on this. I was watching, don't judge me for why I was watching this. I was watching the special features from Crocodile Dundee once.
That's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I love that movie. And at the end, they had already decided, as they were filming the post credits for this movie, or the where they talked to the actor about what they thought about filming the movie, they already knew that they were going to do a Crocodile Dundee 2. And they asked, was it Paul Hogan? Is that right? Paul Hogan, what he thought about doing the movie. He goes, well, the thing is, when you do a sequel, you have to give the audience 20% more of everything for them to consider it equally as good as the first one, because they loved the first one. That's why they're coming back to watch the second one. So if it's a comedy, you got to give them 20% more comedy. If it's action, you got to give them 20% more action. And I think they did that with Crocodile Dundee. They made it really good, the sequel.
Texter says Rocky 2 was better than the original. It's been so long since I've seen the Rocky movies. I'm not one of those guys like... you know, like my buddies in college one weekend, they were like, let's do just watch Rocky binge fest the whole weekend. And I skipped out. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm not sitting there for five Rocky movies, man. I'm sorry.
Rocky 1 was a little slow.
It was.
You know, it was a build up of this guy's story. And then starting with Rocky 2, they kind of really just distilled it down to all the action and the interpersonal drama between he and Apollo, he and his wife. So, yeah, I get it.
Okay. Let's catch up on what you guys are saying here on the text line. Boy, gosh, you guys have sent in so many texts, and I have been delinquent in getting to them. I'm sorry about that. Mark, don't forget Patrick Mahomes, also African-American, also overly criticized and analyzed. Touche. Good point. Texter says, what has Watson done that makes... Diesel, you know how we have best texts of the day? This is worst text of the day. What has Watson done that makes everyone think he's top five? Trubisky is 2-2 in postseason games. Watson is 1-2. Oh, yeah. He's just better than Watson then, right? He has a better postseason record than him, right? Give me a break, man. Come on. What he's done, he's got the second highest quarterback rating. You ready for this? In the history of the NFL.
Sometimes there's haters you just can't please, man.
What is
there's Lonzo, who still says Tom Brady is not the GOAT.
I just can't.
We haven't had all time yet, so how can you call him the greatest of all time?
I can't devote
That's just a jerk way of getting around saying it.
I cannot devote any emotional energy to that. I just can't do it. All right. We continue with some of what you guys are chiming in on the text line here. Mark, the governor's restrictions didn't do anything one way or another. Have a DJ friend who's had a packed house every week. Politics is a bunch of crap. Happy Friday and go Jets. Haha.
We had Austin on the phone line who wanted to chime in with Jimi Hendrix's version of All Along the Watchtower being better than the original.
Oh, okay. There you go. Texter says, don't reduce the social gathering restrictions until after St. Patrick's Day. Change it now and you'll have some huge parties and gatherings. I kind of agree with that texter. Let's see here. Kyrie Irving is a cancer. He is a cancer, Mark, and I would not have him on my team. He cares nothing for his teammates, and every time he opens his mouth, he sounds more and more ignorant. He should concentrate on being a better player and a better teammate before he starts dictating orders and directions to others. That comes from G-Man, and that is the best text that we've gotten today. Completely agree. Two shakes of a rabbit's tail sounds like one of those hippie girls from North Carolina's name. I did say that earlier, didn't I? Did you see the Texans released their starting center an hour ago? I did not see that. See, sometimes when we're on the air, you guys serve as the breaking news function for us, because it's hard to keep up with breaking news sometimes when you're doing a show. We do the best we can. Asheville alone has a better food scene in one street than South Carolina. This is somebody sending this to me with an 864 area code.
Yeah, but to get there, you have to step over homeless people. Like, literally, I love Asheville. I love Asheville. But there's people sleeping on the sidewalks. I've literally had to step over people sleeping on the sidewalks.
You know, the grunge scene is one thing, but when the grunge scene becomes the dirty scene, I'm kind of out. I'm kind of out at that point. Let's see here. I can tell you, Mark, that a bunch of Charlotte-based restaurant groups have put places down here that didn't make it that they like up there. I would say Greenville-Charleston is better than Asheville and Charlotte. Is Asheville Diesel North Carolina's number two?
So
we live...
I think people like to pump it up like it is. Okay. North Carolina's number two.
It's got to be Raleigh number two, right?
Raleigh. Asheville's fine. You know, I like Asheville. I go up there for a lot of concerts. I really love the Orange Peel. It's a fantastic venue. I just don't like geek out over Asheville like a lot of people do. North Carolina, though, does smoke South Carolina in breweries.
So I'll bring you into this. Everybody who doesn't live here, right, like friends from back home in Florida, Texas, et cetera, Houston, these people all say, oh, I got to go to Asheville. And they must have the best chamber of commerce ever, because they've convinced everybody who's not from here they got to go to Asheville. Well, my family came here to visit me 5 months after I moved here, May of 2019. They said the same thing. Got to go to Asheville. We go to Asheville. They say, can we spend the rest of the trip in Greenville, please? That's what they said. I'm not lying to you. So it's like, why does Asheville have all this hype? Yet when you experience both, unbiased people who have no skin in the game like Greenville better.
Well, downtown Greenville has come up in the last 20 years or so. It really has. Downtown Greenville has really exploded.
That's
in the
awesome.
Last 20 years.
Incredible.
And from my understanding, you have to thank the Peace family, or the family that owns the Peace Center, for choosing to do that. Because back in the day, downtown Greenville, Main Street was a four-lane road. It was a four-lane street down the center of downtown Greenville. And the Peace Center said, yeah, we'll build this nice new venue here if and only if you build these nice wide walkways on both sides of the road and you create a walkable downtown. Because prior to that, Greenville did not have a walkable downtown.
Unbelievable. I can't imagine this place.
That's my understanding of the history of downtown Greenville. If I'm wrong, please, somebody correct me.
No, you know what? And when I moved here and when I saw downtown Greenville for the first time, I said, you know what? This place is going to be just fine. This is going to be amazing. Texter says, Mark, the differences between the Carolinas more about the universities in the states. Duke and UNC are the disconnect. Those people are very similar to people from the Northeast. Mark, what do you mean, Diesel, the sports scene in North Carolina is better? You forgot U of SC women's basketball, Coastal Carolina baseball, Limestone lacrosse, and we are still short. Yes, we are. Serious question. Why don't we have a pro franchise in South Carolina? I work in banking, and I see plenty of money sitting stagnant and just in the upstate. We have plenty of land, college programs to piggyback off of. What's missing?
I think, truthfully, South Carolina is late to the game.
Okay, so topic on Monday's show, right there. Let's see here. We keep it rolling with your text, Rocky 2. The Conjuring 2. A texter here, Rush Hour 2. Forgot to put ESPN to start their text. Please remember to start your text with ESPN, guys. I'd appreciate it. Movie sequel better than the first Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back. Yes. Clemson offered Klubnik today, who I really hope we get. Klubnik, yeah, that is the guy that was waiting to see what Ty Simpson was going to do. And now Ty Simpson has spurned Clemson to go to Alabama. I love Watson. I just left for Carolina. I eat things one at a time on my plate, so I like to keep my college and NFL football separate, a texter says. Clemson offered Klubnik today, and I really hope we get him. Clerks 2 was much better than Clerks. Both are very underrated.
Vehemently disagree. I love Clerks 2.
What if I haven't seen either?
It's a good movie, but Clerks 1 is a classic. You can't.
I haven't seen either
one. No, you can't get better than Clerks 1.
What is the movie even about, Diesel?
It's about, you know, kind of two losery guys that work in side-by-side stores. Like, one's a gas station and one is a video rental store.
Okay.
And they're just kind of losers who are just, you know, stuck in dead-end jobs at these crappy places in New Jersey. And that's where Jay and Silent Bob comes from. Jay and Silent Bob come from the Clerks movie. They were just two stoners that stood outside of the Quick Stop selling weed.
Texter says First Blood Part 2 is much better than the original Rambo. Man, you guys are going old school now. Old school. Is the Top Gun 2 already out, Diesel? Did they ever release that?
I have no idea, honestly.
I know they were talking about that.
I really don't have a whole lot of interest in watching it because I know it's not going to be good.
All right, everybody.
Well, see, back in the day, they made sequels because they wanted to make a follow-up great movie to it. Now it's just like, oh, the first one made, you know, $100 million. Let's do a cash grab and hire some cheap director to go out there and do it again.
There you go. Coming up next on the show, Brent Beard joins the program. Can you win a national championship at South Carolina? We'll ask him that very pointed question. This is Offsides, Mark and Diesel, right here on ESPN. Well, what do we have here? If you have been tuned into the show for the last 5 minutes, you certainly heard Diesel at the end of the last segment there. What did he say, listeners? Well, I know you know this. Diesel said, I should throw the flag on you because you used the word fictional, Mark, and that is not a word.
No, not the word fictional. You didn't say fictional.
I did.
No.
I did.
All right, in the next segment, I'm going to pull the tape.
Pull it.
You didn't say
pull
you
it.
Screwed up the word. You combined
screwed.
Fictitious and fictional. You
what?
Said fictitional. You said, quote, fictitional. And
I don't
fictitional
believe I did that.
Is not a word.
I don't believe I did that. You know,
I'm
there,
pull
was
that tape.
There was a scene. Pull the tape. Pull the tape. You guys tell me. Did I say fictitional? I said fictional. There was a, Diesel, there was a guest that was on with Conan O'Brien, and he used the word snuck, and she said that's not a word. And he came back from break, and he had one of those huge dictionaries with his finger on the word snuck, and he goes, right with the guest sitting right there. So did Diesel catch me or did I catch Diesel? We will find out. In any case, joining us right now is a good friend of the show. I say that despite the fact that of everything that happens on the show, what he does makes me the most uncomfortable. He is a Heisman Trophy voter. He is on First Coast News in Jacksonville, and he likes to make me squirm. Our friend Brent Beard joins us right now on the show. Brent, I'm sure this is going to be completely and totally above the belt today. Right?
Well, as you know, always it will be. Now, regardless of what you said a few minutes ago, all that really matters is there are some women out there who are saying, oh, how cute that was.
Oh, God.
We just love Mark.
This is so painful.
You just got to understand that, look, you're given a pass from those who love you, and that's all that matters, okay?
By the way, a texter says, I said fictitional. There's no way I said that. I don't believe that to be the case.
You did say fictitional.
No, I definitely did not do it. I said fictional. We will see, though. Time will tell. Okay, Brent. So much to get to here. Mackenzie Milton, Florida State. What are they getting in Mackenzie Milton? Do we expect Mackenzie to start for Florida State? Can he lead the Seminoles back to the promised land? You know, people were saying, you know, where does that injury rank? You know, Teddy Bridgewater had a gruesome leg injury in the NFL. Alex Smith had the worst injury I've ever seen with what happened after the injury. Mackenzie Milton's injury, Brent, was right there, and now he's transferred to the Seminoles. How is that playing in Tallahassee? Is he going to be the starter? What can we expect there?
I think it's really possible, but they really have a pretty good quarterback room which is good. And look, here's a, Mark, you remember this. Here's a kid that had won during his career one time, 23 straight games. He amassed nearly 10,000 yards and accounted for 90 touchdowns. I mean, how many guys were able to do that? And if look, if he can come back and he's anywhere near form for this season, I think he would be tremendous for them. Mark, I admire a guy like that, don't you? Who can come back from an injury that they told him you'd never probably play again. And if people aren't aware, as Mark has said, I mean, this was not just a torn ACL. I mean, he did so many, it was so difficult even to describe, but kudos to the doctors and the people who worked with him. But he's also looking at Jordan Travis, Chuba Purdy, Tate Roadmaker. And so they've got some really good competition at quarterback. And I'm saying right now that if Mackenzie Milton, Mark, is what, 80% of who he was at UCF, I think he could be a pretty solid quarterback. Do you?
He was really good at UCF. I mean, he was a significant part of. Was he the quarterback that beat Auburn, Brent? I want to say he was, wasn't he?
I think he was too.
Yeah, I think he was the quarterback that beat Auburn, and he was great in that system, kind of in the De'Arik King mold at Miami, right?
Yes.
Smaller quarterback, therefore limiting his pro prospects. And Brent, I hate you right now because you're having me say something positive about my rival. Okay, I really don't ever want to do that.
I know
okay?
that.
Ever.
Well, but so here's the thing, Mark. As we know, will they have an offensive line in order to protect whoever the quarterback is?
Yeah, no. The answer is never. They never have an offensive line. I have never seen one program lack at one position for a decade or longer, quite like they have, and it's never an issue of talent. Never. Or in terms of high school talent, they've got the 4 stars and 5 stars. I don't get that. They can never run the football.
They have got some pretty good guys who are coming back. Devontae Love Taylor is probably their best lineman by far, and he got hurt after 6 games. Bavion Johnson, Robert Scott Jr., Darius Washington, Maurice Smith, Dante Lucas. Now, again, a lot of your listeners won't recognize the names, but I think the thing is, in Mike Norvell's offense, and I like Norvell. I think Norvell is eventually, and I hope this is not pouring salt in the wound, but I think eventually he will win there.
I feel the same.
Let's be honest, Mark. Are they where Florida is right now? No. And they're not even close to that at this point. But the thing that he needs to do, I mean, Mark, for Florida State, would what, 7-5? 8-4 this year, if that's possible. Or goodness, I believe I'd almost take 6-6. But to do that and to be able to win a bowl game, will that be significant progress for them?
Oh, major. And I have the same feeling you do about Norvell. That's why I was hoping all of the stuff with lying to his players would blow him out of there. You know, like I was hoping he would be the next coach to have a quick stay in Tallahassee, because I do think he's actually legit. I just think that situation was so far gone when he got there that it's going to take some time to turn that around. But not this year. Next year, I don't think, 2022, I don't think 8-4 or 9-3 is out of the realm of possibility for them, you know? Year three in a Norvell system, even with that mess, they could be climbing the ranks again in the ACC conference. Which, let's be honest, Brent, Clemson desperately needs somebody to be the Robin in that league. We saw the value of Notre Dame to that league this year, right? To getting two teams in the college football playoff, having a team actually capable of beating Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. I just, You know, Brent, I even think it's kind of a bad and lazy question to ask somebody like you who's in line to challenge Clemson, because I just don't think anybody is.
Well, they really are. Now, I think we've got to keep an eye on Miami with Derek King coming back and Rhett Lashley coming back. Now, Manny Diaz says he's going to take over the defense, which may be a smart move on his part. We'll know a lot more about Miami in that opener, won't we, Mark, when they go to Atlanta and play Alabama. So, who, by the way, got another tremendous quarterback prospect about an hour ago. But the and I like what Mac did in North Carolina, don't you? And look, they may still have, could you argue, the best quarterback in the league, or certainly one of them. But you're right. I mean, right, it still is. You could easily say Miami, Clemson has still very little competition in the league.
I totally agree. Completely and totally agree with what you just said. Brent, loaded question for you. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah, and I have a loaded one for you, too, before, before the segment's
over. Listen, this is going to be a very one-way interview. I'm shutting off your mic every time you have a loaded question for me, okay? All right. Can you win a national title in Columbia? Can you win a national title at South Carolina?
I'm going to say I think you can win a national title. Yeah. Now, are they anywhere near that now? No. But
I just want to know if it's possible. You know, like if you got Urban Meyer, the Urban Meyer of today would never go to South Carolina, right? But if you got the next Urban Meyer, if you got a coach of that ilk, let's say Shane Beamer has that sort of capability, that sort of magnetism to him, could that be achieved in South Carolina? Or is there some artificial ceiling there that represents their apex? Did Steve Spurrier represent their apex?
I think if you were going to look at South Carolina, what you've got to look at is what can they legitimately win? And they're in the Eastern Division. Can they beat, on a regular basis, Georgia and Florida? That's your measuring stick. But I will say this. If they can beat Georgia and Florida and win the East at some point, and now, obviously, you're going to be dealing with Nick Saban in Alabama, but I still say, Mark, that it's pretty safe to say that if they could ever get to the point where they could go to Atlanta and win, they're going to be in the college football playoff, particularly with this thing expanded the way we think it's going to be. And look, if you're in the college football playoff, I still say at some point, this thing's going. We're going to have some more parity than what we've got right now. That it's possible to be able to do anything. But I'll also say this: in order for South Carolina or whoever to be able to win a national championship, I think I've shared this with you before. Tom Luganville said about 4 years ago, and I never forget this. That the teams, and he called Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson, that decided that they're going all out for football with the facilities and with the resources and the money, and that by doing so, from the president on down to the, and I'm not being disparaging here, but you get my point, from the president to the janitorial staff, that they will be able to support football, and then with that commitment, it grows, and those are the schools who have won national championships. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And the other thing I was just thinking about is by the time South Carolina built this thing up, it would probably be, you know, if we're talking 4 or 5 years from now, I think if you look at the Gamecocks' schedule, 6 wins is possible next year. They could go to a bowl game, which would be great in Beamer's first year. But if you're thinking about truly being a contender, they've got to be at least 4 years away. By that time, Nick Saban will either be gone or close to bowing out. So in that sense, the timeline kind of fits for the Gamecocks in terms of their gradual and incremental climb up. So let's get to what you touched on there, the playoff expansion talk, Brent. Where are we with that? I know there's a lot of momentum behind that. Anything hot enough to be more than a rumor at this point?
Well, I think two things happened this week that were interesting. One was a quote, and I give Matt Baker, the sports writer, credit for this, was he said in an interview with Mike Kelly, who is at South Florida, he is the AD there now, and a quote, "I'm very excited, quite frankly, about the prospects of the college football playoff expanding in the future." And Kelly was the COO of the college football playoff before coming to Tampa. I don't think he would be speaking necessarily out of turn with this. And I think the other thing is, now, as astute and insightful as these women say that you are, I know that you picked up on this.
I asked a harmless question, Brent. I asked a harmless question, my friend.
We always have to circle back around, okay? but listen, here's the reality of this, and I got a good tweet for you in a minute. But look, Kelly knows that in order to for USF or UCF or whatever initials you want to go with, to have a chance at the playoff, you've got to expand at least eight, right, Mark?
Right, right.
So he knows that. And the other thing, there were also some national writers who came out this week and had some interesting stories about the playoff being inevitable at this point. And again, this is 2021. These contracts for TV are going to have to be done, Mark, by the middle of this decade. So, and keep your eye on this. Commissioners will meet, as they do every year, in April, which is about to be next month when we talk again.
Yeah.
So, when you're looking at that, will we get some hint or conversation that comes out of that? I can tell you this, what those commissioners need and better be saying is, we're looking at this very closely and we can see some advantages in it. We need to see something like that out of their mouth, don't we, Mark?
100%. More of that out of your mouth and less of this other garbage that you're hitting me with. By the way, now we've got a parody account, Brent Beard's Assistant Pimp for Mark account. This is where we are, Brent. My best wishes to Brent Beard for a wonderful weekend. Brent, Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson. Where is Florida going to replace Kyle Trask?
I think at this point it's going to be Emory Jones because Emory Jones is the style of quarterback that Dan Mullen has won with, right? Meaning he's got a true dual threat guy. Now, look, I love Kyle Trask, and I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks, obviously, in the nation. Now, Kyle Trask could run the ball a little bit, tuck and run, but he is nothing like running such as Emory Jones is. And look, when Anthony Richardson has gotten in, he looked pretty good too. So, and here's the other caveat to this. They have I know you've looked at this, but for your listeners, Florida has got potentially the best running back room that I think we've seen in a long time with Damian Pierce, Malik Davis, Naquan Wright, Lorenzo Lindgaard,
DeMarcus Bowman. Yeah.
And look, You've seen Bowman. You know what we're talking about here. And they've got a couple of guys in Bowman and Lindgaard who can go the distance from anywhere on the field.
But how is the offensive line going to be there?
Well, that's a great point. Now, Stuart Reese is back. Richard Garage, Ethan White, who was injured a good bit last year but has all kinds of potential. Josh Braun, among some of the other names with that. That again, as women would say, another astute point on your behalf. But the could you see them going to look, they're not going to run the wishbone, Mark, but could they be a lot more balanced on that offense and be really difficult to defend?
Absolutely, they would. Absolutely, they would. I think Emory has the edge, but the folks in Gainesville are really excited about Anthony Richardson as well.
Yes. Yes.
Brent Beard is a Heisman Trophy voter. You can follow him on Twitter at Brent, B-E-A-I-R-D, and you can hear him on First Coast News in Jacksonville. Any parting shots today for me, Brent?
My name is Daphne.
Oh, God.
I am a stunt double for Wonder Woman in the movies.
Okay.
I'm very athletic.
Nice.
And it's hard work. And I'm home most weekends from shooting movies. And I've heard Mark, and I think we should meet. So, and she has in here kind of a P.S. Where she says, I think that Diesel has a really cute voice, too.
I like where this is going.
All right. And
I think we need to flip the script over to Diesel on this.
I just want to play this on the air, Brent, because your name is mentioned in this audio clip. Mark Ryan claims that he didn't make a mistake in the last segment, but because your name is mentioned in this clip, I want you to be a party to this. Listen to Mark Ryan say words that don't exist.
Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter, will bust my balls about fictional women. Next, here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Fictitional. Not a word.
It's not a word. Oh, I actually did say that, Brent. Oh, you got me. That was your tease, Brent. That was your tease. Can you play it one more time for Brent here, Diesel? Okay, I'd like him to hear that one more time.
Here we go.
Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter, will bust my balls about fictitional women. Next, here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Let me add to this, and I'll read them next week. But there are a couple of English teachers who are interested in Mark, too. So, look, whatever's going on here, they've told me they can straighten out any difficulty that Mark might have with the English language.
I can't wait. Great catching up with you, buddy. Thank you so much. Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter. Oh, by the way, Brent, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, please tell Wonder Woman that I'll be her Superman. Okay. All right.
I think that's what she's waiting on. Or Batman too.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Here we go. Take care, buddy. Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter, and First Coast News. And I actually said fictitional. Wow. What was I thinking? What was I thinking? It is Offsides, Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to have you guys with us here on the show. All right, it is time for us to do that jam we call Either Or. A couple of options on life and sports. Either or starts right now.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either have the money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both.
You either serve or fight.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
What do you do? What do you do?
All right, Diesel, what do you got?
You can only watch prequels or sequels for the rest of your life. What do you watch?
I've never been a prequel guy, dude. You know, everyone's trying to get me into Better Call Saul, which is the prequel to Breaking Bad. And it's just, I know it's not going to be as good as Breaking Bad, so why do I want to go down that road? I've already seen the best. Why am I going to back up from there? So I'm going to go sequel, Diesel, because of the rare possibility that you find the diamond in the rough. I'm going to go sequel.
Well, you just explained why you're wrong right there. You said the rare possibility that you find a diamond in the rough. Most sequels suck. And the reason why there is a prequel is because something great happened and people are like, I need some backstory on that. I need to understand more about that. And so it's more of a labor of love. Usually they work harder to make the prequels better.
Okay, well, name a great prequel.
Better Call Saul.
Just stole it from me. That's all you got? You rip mine? That's what you do? Okay. Do you even like that show?
I love Better Call Saul.
Do you?
Yeah.
I watched one episode. I couldn't get to the second one.
It's different.
Yeah,
it's different from the original.
That's one word for it. Okay. Diesel, Ty Simpson has spurned Clemson for Alabama. Is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
It is a little deal. It's a little deal because Clemson has five-star and four-star talent littered everywhere. They probably got their eyes on a five-star quarterback a year after Ty Simpson. They probably got one a year before Ty Simpson. So they're probably fine. They're probably fine at the quarterback position. I mean, really, when you're stacking three, four, and five-star quarterbacks, your quarterback room is really full. I think Clemson will be fine.
I think Clemson will be fine. It's not no deal because this guy's five-star. Number two pro-style quarterback in the country. Number five overall quarterback in the country. And what stings about this one is, you know, for right now, the backup to DJ Uiagalelei is the insurance policy. Tyson Pumachon is not getting it done. Every time he's in, he throws a pick. Sometimes a pick six. Just not getting it done. So for Clemson to lose their insurance policy stings, especially because 24/7 Sports said he was 100% locked to Clemson, to which Diesel says,
"Yeah, they'll be fine."
He says that they're 100% wrong.
Oh, I said they're 100% wrong. I did say
that. Yeah, there you go.
Well, hey, you know, the best part about this, though, is South Carolina can now say they beat Clemson at something. They had a five-star quarterback decommit before Clemson did. So you beat them to it.
God, man. What, God, South Carolina, Clemson getting spurned. And those are hurtful words there, Diesel. What else you got?
All right. If you are Matt Rhule on April 29th and Deshaun Watson has yet to make a decision about whether or not he's leaving Houston. I mean, we all know he's probably gonna. He wants to. But let's say he hasn't yet left Houston. Do you cut your losses and draft Mac Jones at number 8? Or do you trade the pick and really just try to throw the farm at Houston to get a deal done?
You throw the farm at Houston to get a deal done, man. Look.
It's okay to not have a quarterback for another year?
You don't want to mess around with the first round in the NFL draft if you can get a proven commodity. The bust rate, the Mark Ryan bust rate on first-round quarterbacks is 60% busts the last 10 years in the first round, Diesel. You got a guy you know is already a superstar, and he's exactly 25 years old. The next 13, 14 years, book it. He's yours, and you're relevant, and you're in the Carolinas where this kid is king. No, man, you sell the farm to get Deshaun, and you don't screw it up by wasting a first-round pick on a guy who's going to be a reach in Mac Jones.
I think you're absolutely right, because you still have, assuming he's now not so disenfranchised that he leaves, you probably still have a Teddy Bridgewater to play quarterback for you. If you don't draft Mac Jones, you still got a quarterback there. So you got somebody to take the snaps and probably win you 5 or 6 games, maybe. So, I think the same. I think if you don't have if Deshaun Watson has not yet made a decision by April 29th, you throw that number 8 pick in with your offer and try to go everything at Houston.
And finally for me, Russell Wilson, you know, says, "I'm committed to this relationship, but I would also entertain dating the Las Vegas Raiders, the Miami Dolphins, New Orleans Saints, and New York Jets." Why are the Jets on both of these teams' lists? I mean, come on. The Northeast is cold, gray, dirty, crowded, and rude. Really. And the Jets are awful. They're the worst franchise in sports. Anyway, Diesel, Russell Wilson, does he go the way of Deshaun? Does Russell Wilson stay in Seattle, or does he find a home elsewhere? This is unbelievable how this is happening.
I hate to say it because I'm just dreading the thought of Rob Brown reveling in this. I think he probably goes to New Orleans.
Wow.
Because it gives him the best chance to win immediately. You know, I also wonder why Russell Wilson didn't even mention the Carolina Panthers, being that he went to NC State.
That's a great point.
He's got some local ties, and I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all reasons why you choose where you want to play the last few years of your career. But we know Russell Wilson's priorities. He wants to win. So, again, why is he putting the New York Jets on his list?
That's a great point. Great point.
Because they ain't winning anytime soon.
No, I think they patch it up. I think they make it work with Russell because, literally, he is the franchise. And Pete Carroll right now, everyone's saying, is the problem. Nobody answers to him. His son, when your son quits coaching and leaves the team for a while because they can't handle being around you, what does that say? Good God. They've got to mend this fence. They've got to make this right. Whatever Russell Wilson wants, you give it to him. He wants personnel say, you give it to him. Deshaun Watson, does he want an ownership stake? You give it to him. Because whether you want to admit it or not, they already own the franchise. That's either or for today. Coming up next, we close this little puppy with a take to take with you. This is Offsides with Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, it's Offsides, Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. You know, this Russell Wilson thing is really fascinating when you think about it. He's letting you know what the problem is in Seattle. He's telling you that, look, we're a winning team, love the people of Seattle. Without saying it, what the problem is his wants, desires are being ignored, and then they flame out every single year in the first or second round of the playoffs because the roster isn't good enough. Now, a lot of times, the quarterbacks take the blame for that because when you're no longer on the rookie contract, you make money hand over fist, and then the team can't improve the rest of the roster, right? So Russell Wilson has a hand in this, but he wants a say in personnel. And I don't know how, if you are the 12th man in Seattle, if you are Seattle Seahawks brass, you don't listen to him. You know, Pete Carroll's fate, in my opinion, rests in the hands of Russell Wilson and whether Russell wants to play for Pete anymore or not. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. We will see you on Monday right here on Offsides with Mark and Diesel. We are ESPN Upstate.